Today's reading is from Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. This is taken from the NIV, so if you want to find it in your Bibles or on your tablets, then fine. Starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked him, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. First, an apology. The title was going to be "The Woman Caught in Adultery," but it was felt that might not be the best of titles for Mothering Sunday, so we changed it. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. That's the New King James Version, and is more accurate, actually. It does say, and I'll talk about it later, Mary has chosen that good part. Not better, but good. Today we see Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his word, and Martha preparing food. The word of God is likened to food, isn't it? St. Peter says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow." And today's passage is like the filling of a sandwich. It's really quite extraordinary. There is somebody in charge of this Bible and, you know, telling people what to put where, I'm sure. I'm sure God has a hand in the Bible. If you look, there's the Mary and Martha story in the middle. Immediately before it's the story of the Good Samaritan, and immediately afterwards the Lord's Prayer. The Good Samaritan's about serving your neighbour, isn't it? Love the Lord your God and your neighbour as yourself. But the lawyer says, "But who is my neighbour?" So it's getting on to serving your neighbour. And the Lord's Prayer is approaching God and listening to him and worshipping him. And the middle bit, the middle of the sandwich, that's an avocado and something, tuna, I think, sandwich. The middle bit is two people trying to do both things, serving God and the neighbour at once, and how it works out. So you've got the Good Samaritan at the bottom, you've got the Lord's Prayer at the top, and the middle bit is Mary and Martha. Two people trying to serve and worship in close proximity. The story takes place in Bethany, now called Al-Azariah, that's right, which sounds like Lazarus, whom Jesus later raised from death. Jesus comes to stay with Mary and Martha, probably without the disciples. It does say that Martha welcomed him. Martha's preparing supper, and Mary is at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. Martha appears, the word "came in" has the sense of storms in. Big word, makes it clear she's not happy. She wants some help. And Martha's remembered, isn't she, as the sister Jesus criticised. And down the centuries, Christians have tended to polarise as either working Martha's or worshipping Mary's. And the monastic life was regarded as the Mary life, and the secular, the Martha life, doing or listening. But Jesus comes to break down dividing walls. And one day we'll meet Martha. And it's interesting to wonder what she might say to us. And I think she'll say, "I learnt something that day, and so must you." The passage is a sort of snapshot in the lives of Martha and Mary. It says in John's Gospel that Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. And that certainly can't be taken to mean that he preferred Mary to Martha. Somebody said that God cares more about his workers than about the work they're doing. And I think that goes to explain quite a lot of what we're talking about today. So we have the characters. Not a lot is known about the social details of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. None of them appears to be married. Someone suggested they might have been the children of a man called Simon the leper, in whose house a woman anointed Jesus with expensive perfume, that was his head. Perhaps Jesus had healed Simon, which would explain why he could live in a house with his family. But it might also explain why Mary and Martha and Lazarus appeared not to have spouses. But that is just speculation, but I think it's really quite interesting. Wherever Mary is mentioned in the Gospels, she's always at Jesus' feet. Here she's listening, isn't she? Next at the death of Lazarus. And then she anoints Jesus' feet. And it's been said there's always a fragrance where Mary is. First the smell of food, then of death, then of expensive perfume. Jesus always seems to hang a bit loose about food. In the womb, he was turned away from an inn. And one remembers God's words in Psalm 50, "If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you." And Jesus says to his disciples after speaking to the Samaritan lady, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Jesus, in his humanity, has few needs. Some commentators have gone a bit over the top, suggesting just the one thing needed means I'd be happy with a bowl of soup, that's all. And the message, you know, the modern translation, has only one thing is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course. Well, I think that's a pun, isn't it? It doesn't seem to fit in at all. It's the main course. Sorry, I thought that was funny. But in his divinity, he has needs. He needs to be heard. Jesus is the Word of God, and a word needs to be heard. At Jesus' transfiguration, the voice of God said, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Peter wanted to do something. He wanted to build shelters, didn't he, for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. But listening was the command. And in the Old Testament, Samuel chastises. Sorry, the colour wasn't very good in those days. It was something to do with Kodak the priest, I think. He chastises King Saul for saying to heed, which means to hear and obey, is better than the fat of rams. So we've got obedience or offerings, worshipping or feeding. But hospitality is about meeting your guests' needs. And Mary was meeting Jesus' need to be heard. After all, he was on his way to his crucifixion, and he'd be wanting to talk about that. And she was listening. And she was at his feet, a woman. Things have changed, haven't they? Didn't do that in those days. Listening to his word. I think we'll pass on this one, but it's almost as though the voice of God walks in the garden, as though the connection between voice and feet. But Paul suggested that probably wasn't quite right. It was God walking in the garden rather than the voice. Martha was meeting Jesus' need for sustenance, but her problem was that her heart wasn't right. She didn't value her sister at that moment. So we're looking at her censure now. She was censured by Jesus, criticised by Jesus. The poet Robert Browning has said, "All service ranks the same with God." It isn't the work that Martha's doing that Jesus is criticising. It's a bit like Cain and Abel, isn't it? Cain's sacrifice wasn't accepted, not because he sacrificed something wrong, vegetables rather than a lamb, but because God wasn't happy with his heart. The passage says Martha was upset. The old English word is cumbered. Art thou weak or heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? She's drawn hither and thither and distracted. But Jesus shows her great affection. Martha, Martha, not all of you will know that my wife's middle name is Puddle Duck. And if I'm wanting her to see things my way, I try to say with great affection, Puddle, Puddle. It's just the same. Jesus is showing great affection there. In fact, Martha, in a frazzle, there's five things that are unhelpful. She bursts in upon them. I've mentioned that before. It's a really violent word. She's standing over them. She's not just being polite. And it's easy to do that. I'm preparing the services on a Sunday morning, and I've got a problem. I want to adjust something. I don't want to talk to the vicar. And what's he doing? He's talking to somebody. And I feel like jumping in. You know, it's just the same as Martha there. She suggests that Jesus, the saviour of the world, doesn't care. Lord, don't you care? And it's the same word as the disciples used to Jesus when the boat's about to sink and he's asleep in the stern. Martha, don't you care? She blames her sister. My sister's left me to do all the work. And she complains she's left all alone by myself, rather like the prophet Elijah. I alone am left of all the prophets. And fifthly, she tells Jesus what to do. I mean, not even Abraham would do that, would he? He said, shall not the Lord of all the earth, judge of all the earth, do right? We're not supposed to serve God in an advisory capacity. So, the issue here isn't the nature of the work, but the fact that she's anxious and disturbed. Martha needs to listen to Jesus too, but in her stress, she's unable to. And she's making it difficult for her sister to listen as well. The trouble is, it isn't really easy both to serve and to sit at Jesus' feet. There are times for being more like Martha and times for being more like Mary. But the one thing necessary is to know that you can be both at once. Remember Jesus' words to the sheep at his right hand. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And there's a book, I don't know if you read it, The Practice of the Presence of God. And in that, Brother Lawrence gets very near to this combination during his work in the monastery kitchen. And this is the stuff that hymns are made of. There's George Herbert's hymn, isn't there? Teach me, my God and King, in all things thee to see, and what I do in anything, to do it as for thee. A servant with this clause makes drudgery divine, who sweeps a room as for thy laws, makes that and the action fine. So many hymns. Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go, my daily labour to pursue, isn't it? Thee, only thee, resolve to know in all I think or speak or do. It's all the same sort of thing. Hundreds of hymns, particularly the old ones, have got that in. So, that was Martha censured. But Martha actually learnt from this, I think. We're not told, but I think Martha probably did come and sit at Jesus' feet too. There's no doubt that she learnt her lesson. The next time we see her is at the graveside of Lazarus. And when Jesus tells her he's the resurrection and the life, she responds with a great statement of faith. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Then she does something even more wonderful. She calls for Mary. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. She recognizes Mary's closeness to Jesus. She might have more influence. She values her. And the next time we see Martha, she's cooking for all the disciples. Oh, that's not a good argument to argue from silence. She's not complaining. There she is. There's Mary anointing Jesus' feet. And there's Martha at the top left. Can't see her very well, but she looks as though she's got a smile on her face, even though Mary's putting expensive ointment on his feet. But someone did complain on that occasion. That was Judas. And Judas has been described as an end-stage Martha. Like a Martha who never learnt the one thing needful. Because he did go out with the 12 evangelists, didn't he, evangelizing? And he carried the money for the poor. But something wasn't right with him. Jesus wasn't the leader that Judas was expecting, he wanted. I don't think he ever sat at Jesus' feet. And yet there's one thing more. Martha complains she's all alone. When Jesus tells his disciples about the promised Holy Spirit, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he promises, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So today's Martha is not alone. Our business is to live out the truth that Jesus is with us. What people call the practice of the presence of God. So that's Martha. What about Mary being commended? When Jesus says to Martha that she's upset about many things, he says, but only one thing is needed. And it says in the original Greek, Mary chose the good part. Some modern translations have the right thing or what is better, but that does imply comparison. The Greek word is agathos, which means good or beneficial. Mary has chosen what is beneficial for herself and Jesus at that moment. So what is the one thing needful? Jesus' great need is to be heard, and ours is to listen. So what is the one thing needed? It's not to be distracted, but to be centred on Jesus in all we do. That's the one thing necessary for all of us at all times. We have our own one things, but that's the general one thing that Jesus wants for us all. So there you have David saying, one thing I ask for is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's the blind man, one thing I know, once I was blind, now I see. And there's the rich young ruler, one thing you lack. And there's Paul, one thing I do, I press forward for the prize. But Jesus says one thing is necessary, and that's for all of us, I think. Don't be distracted, but focus on Jesus, who tells us, so don't worry, saying what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus then says that this good part won't be taken from her. St. Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us, and God will not. So we're beginning to land, as Francis would say. There's going to be no need for Phil to do that, I think. What does YBH mean? Yes, but how? So getting back to the sandwich, I don't think it's coincidence that Jesus' teaching on the Lord's Prayer comes immediately after today's passage. Seek first his kingdom, then these things will be added to you. And praying the Lord's Prayer is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his word, and asking for help in serving. Our Father in heaven. And it's different for each of us. But for me, it's a matter of thinking about Revelation chapters 4 and 5, where John is given the vision of heaven. There before him was a throne in heaven, with someone sitting on it who had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, with an emerald rainbow around the throne. And surrounding the throne were 24 elders. In the centre of the throne were the four living creatures, one with the face of an ox, one of a man, one of a lion, and one of an eagle, the four faces of God. And there was a lamb at the centre of the throne, looking as though it had been slain. And I think that picture is wonderful. I don't think everyone does. But it's a lady who painted Revelation Illustrated with lots of pictures of heaven and Revelation. Hallowed be your name. We hallow his name by first agreeing that he exists. The writer to the Hebrews says, anyone coming to him must believe that he exists. Then we think of what he's like. He's like Jesus. Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And then that he's present with us. Lo, I am with you to the end of the age. We need to remember that. And the older ones of us will remember notices like this in houses. My grandparents had a note rather like that. Not obviously that one exactly. And it frightened you a bit, because, you know, you had to think, oh gosh, what's all that about? But in fact, for a Christian, it's quite good news, isn't it? Jesus is with us. We need to remember it. We need to know he's present. And it will make us behave accordingly. We used to sing, he is here, didn't he? He is here, he is moving among us. He's the centre of everything we do. Sorry. Apologies for the American spelling. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What does Jesus tell us to do? We have the Bible. We're to listen and obey. And from reading his word, we could think of what he would do in any particular situation. But he's present with us, so we could also ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? And only after sitting at his feet and hearing his words do we turn our mind to our needs for food, forgiveness, and his rod and staff to direct us. Going out into the world, but Jesus is with us. So, with the eye of faith, you can see Mary and Martha in the Lord's Prayer, loving and serving. Someone has said, we welcome Jesus into our church and into our lives when we offer him both our Martha and our Mary. Someone has also said, when Martha and Mary live in harmony, dead brothers are raised. And then from the Old Testament, remember Elisha and the Shunammite woman. She provided the prophet with material needs, food, and spiritual needs. She gave him a little room on the roof of the house. The Mary and the Martha. And what happened next? Her son was raised to life. So I'll end, you'll be pleased to know, I'll end a verse from a hymn, Lo, I Come with Joy, by Charles Wesley, who is said to have written between 6,000 and 9,000 hymns. And he had a mother called Susanna, who had 19 children. So prayer must have been quite difficult for her, but what she did was she flung her apron over her head. So there's a Mary and Martha. Have you heard of one? That's the Shunammite's son being raised to life. Lo, I come with joy to do the Master's blessed will, him in outward works pursue, and serve his pleasure still. Faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part, serve with careful Martha's hands and loving Mary's heart. So, let us learn how to serve, and in our hearts enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. Amen.